Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I'd like to look at a message I have entitled The Power of Purity. You lack power with God today? You pray and nothing seems to happen? You witness and nothing seems to happen? I mean, you battle the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you lose more than you win. You don't have to live that way. It is never God's will that God's people be without God's power. If you've ever known what it is to have God's power, and then know what it is not to have God's power, you know the misery of powerless living. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, folks, that's power. In Acts 1:8, it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's power. I'm simply saying this. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to have power with God in your prayer life and in your service to the Lord. And that power with God is going to be found in your personal purity before God. Well, notice three things. Number one, power with God. Power of purity, power in prayer, and then number four, power in service. It is God's desire that you serve Him. Well, please notice number one, power with God. What do you mean by power with God? It is the ability you have to accomplish something for the Lord. It is the ability you have to do something for God. It is the ability you have to influence others for Jesus Christ. It is the ability you have to influence God. It is the ability you have to move the heart of God to action. You say, preacher, is that biblical? Can I influence God? I'm just an ordinary Christian. Can I move the heart of God to action? Yes, my dear friend, you can influence God. As a child of God, you can move the heart of God to action. Do you remember the story in Genesis chapter 32 in which Jacob wrestled with an angel? We find Jacob wrestling with a man, the Bible says, in Genesis chapter 32. The man who wrestled Jacob is called an angel in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4 and was evidently the pre-incarnate Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. Jacob said, I'll not let you go, except you bless me. Now, the Bible says that Jacob wept. That Jacob wept sore. That Jacob made supplication. Now, folks, you can read this for yourself in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. The angel said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. The angel said, Thy name shall no more be called Jacob but Israel. Thou hast power with God. Thou hast power with men. Thou hast prevailed. All right, what was the angel saying? He's simply saying this, Jacob, you have power with me. You have influence with me. You have prevailed. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of power. Moses had that power with God. On a number of occasions, God was going to destroy Israel. But don't you see, the man of God, Moses, prayed and prevailed with the Lord in prayer. Abraham had such power with God. In Genesis chapter 18, God told Abraham that he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In verse 27, Abraham began to pray. And by the time Abraham finished praying, God agreed with Abraham that if he could find as few as 10 righteous people in those vast wicked cities, he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, Abraham had power with God. He had the ability to move the heart of God. Do you have that kind of power tonight? As a child of God, you ought to have. It is the will of God that you have that power. It's available to everyone on the same basis by God. You don't have to be special to get it. Hezekiah had such power. It was the prophet Isaiah who told Hezekiah to set his house in order because he was about to die. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and he wept sore. Before Isaiah could leave the middle court, the Lord told Isaiah, I want you to go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thine tears, I'll heal thee. I'll add 15 years into thy days, and I'll deliver thee out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Elijah had such power at the Lord. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passion. We are, and he prayed earnestly that there might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. By means of prayer, you too can have power with God. You too can influence God. You too can move the heart of God to action. And the Bible makes that very clear to us in James chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, you have not because, and it gives you a reason, because you ask not. Don't you see, that's the reason you have not very little praying going on among God's people today. Have you ever wondered what God thinks about your prayer life? Get it? If God were to write something about your prayer life, write something down about your prayer life tonight, what would he write? Now, how many of you folks ever thought about that before? Listen, there are things that God wants to do for you today. He wills do it. He wants to do it. He will do it, but he won't do it because you don't pray. What a shame that is. It is our prayers that move the heart of God to action. And that simply means this: not God's not going to do anything at all, if you do not take the time or make the time for prayer. Listen to his word in Matthew 7:7-8. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, you notice the power of that, the power of prayer. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. How about John 15:7? Jesus said it this way, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. John 14:14, Jesus said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He said he'd do the very thing that you asked for. Why then do you pray? It must be that you have truly forgotten the great power therein. You see, in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, it says, behold, I'm the Lord. I'm Jehovah, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Absolutely nothing in the entire universe too hard for God. All things are possible with God. Why then don't you pray? You have must truly forgotten the great power therein. So we have noticed, number one, power with God. But notice, number two, power of purity. All right, what do you mean by purity? Purity simply means doing what's right. The child of God needs to make a decision to live for God and do right. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, the Bible says, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Well, that's being pure. In 1 John 3:21, the Bible says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That's being pure. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. If you want to do something for the Lord, if you want to accomplish something for God, if you want to influence God, if you want to move the heart of God to action, you need to have power with God. And that power with God, is going to be found in your personal purity before God. When a man is pure, when a man is clean, when a man is right with God, when a man is in fellowship with the Lord, he is doing the right thing and he keeps doing what is right. He is living by biblical principles. He is living by biblical convictions. He's doing what the Bible says to do and keeps from doing what it says not to do. I'm simply saying this. If you're going to have the power to do the will of God, if you're going to have the power to influence God, if you're going to have the power to move the heart of God to action, that power is going to come through personal purity before God. I have learned that the child of God can experience his greatest power to do the will of God when he is pure. I've learned that, folks. The child of God can experience his greatest power to accomplish the will of God when he is clean. The child of God can experience his greatest power to influence God and move the heart of God to action when he is right with God, when he is in fellowship with the Lord. Personal purity before God is the thing that gives the child of God power with the Lord. A Christian who's pure, who's clean, who's right with God, who's in fellowship with the Lord, can influence the heart of God. He can move the heart of God to action. He can gain from the Lord what he needs. He can be used mightily of God. He can magnify the Lord with his life. Don't you see? It is your prayers that move the heart of God to action. Not going to get anything at all from God if you do not discipline yourself to spend quality time with the Lord every day in prayer. It's just not going to happen. But you need to be right with God. You see, you need to be in fellowship with the Lord. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says it this way, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You could say it this way, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Did you know it's not the fervency that gets the answer? No, sir. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a man who is truly right with God, availeth much, accomplishes much. A man who's pure, a man who's clean, a man who's right with God and fellowship with the Lord, doing the right thing and keeps on doing what is right, he has the ability to influence God, folks. He has the ability to move the heart of God to action. He has the ability to influence others for Christ. He has the ability to accomplish something for the Lord that counts. So we've noticed number one, power with God. We've noticed number two, power and purity. But notice number three, power in prayer. What keeps God from answering your prayers then? You pray and nothing seems to happen. You pray and you don't get any answers from God. I'm going to tell you what it is. It is the impurity in your heart. In Psalm 66:18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. If there is a sin in your life and you know it. And brethren, that's the key. You see, you know it. You know it, but you're not willing to confess and forsake that known sin in your life. Did you know you can pray until you're blue in the face and God is not obligated to hear your prayer? You see, He's not obligated to answer your prayers. What is it then that taps the power of God in your prayer? It's your personal purity before God. I'm not talking about positional purity. No, sir. We are all pure in the eyes of God when we're saved, when we're born again. Now, folks, we understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about practical purity before God. 1 John 3:21. The Bible says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do what we want to do. We live our own lifestyle. No, we keep His commandments. Well, that's what the Bible says. We keep His commandments. That is, we do what the Bible says to do, and keep from doing what it says not to do. That man can influence God. And it goes on to say, conjunction, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You're not going to hide anything from the Lord. You can't do in private what you think will not be seen in public kind and not rob you of God's power in prayer. God knows everything. God is everywhere present at all times. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that does not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of God. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And Ezekiel 8:12 says, Son of man, hast thou seen what the angst of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his own imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. Many of you have already lost power of God in your prayer life, and you don't even know it. Take heed. Ezekiel 18:30, God said, therefore I will judge you. I'll judge you. Everyone according to his own way, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Brethren, there are folks in this room today who have genuine needs. Needs that God wants to meet, but you don't have what you need because you have no power with God. You cannot influence God. You cannot move the heart of God to action. You can't get anything at all from the Lord because of the presence of sin in your life that you know about. I'm simply saying this. If you choose, it's a choice. If you choose to ignore personal purity before God, you'll have no power with God in prayer. You'll have no power to influence God. You'll have no power to move the heart of God to action. So go ahead and embrace that sin in your life that you know about. Go ahead and cherish that sin in your life that you know about. You see that sinful act, sinful attitude, sinful behavior, and you'll have no power with God in prayer. You'll pray for your loved ones to be saved, but God will not hear, God will not answer. You'll pray for the power of God in your life, and God will not hear, God will not answer. You'll pray for the power of God on your pastor and your dear pastor's wife, but God will not hear, God will not answer. You'll pray for God to bless your missionaries with souls. God will not hear. God will not answer. You'll pray for God to bless your church with souls. God will not hear. God will not answer. You'll pray for God to meet your financial needs, and God will not hear. God will not answer. Why? because of the presence of sin in your life that you know about, because of the impurity in your heart that you know about. So go ahead and embrace that sin in your life. Cherish that sin. But you just can't seem to get the victory over it. Sinful act, attitude, behavior, you'll have no power with God in prayer. So we've noticed power with God, power of purity, and power in prayer. But this is another one, power in service. Remember, it is God's desire that you serve Him. Did you know you ought to be serving the Lord? Amen. The reason you were saved. We talked about that. Are you doing that? Are you serving the Lord? Right where you are. 365 days, 66 days a year. Leap year. Purity is the thing that gives the child of God power in service. As I said, it is God's desire that you serve Him. You have not been saved just to get out of hell. You have not been saved just to go to heaven. You have been saved so that you could in turn serve God and glorify Him thereby. The purpose of God's work in mankind is not simply to save him from his suffering. The purpose of God's work in mankind is to make it possible for man to glorify and magnify the Lord. I submit to you that if you are not actively seeking to glorify Christ, you have missed the reason for the salvation you enjoy in the Lord today. The reason you're saved is that you might be fixed up in such a way that you could render a service unto God that will glorify and magnify Christ. So let me ask you something. Do you have power with God in service? You see, there are Sunday school teachers who have taught in the power of the flesh. There are Christians who have sung in the power of the flesh. Did you know there are preachers who have preached in the power of the flesh? It is possible for you to go through the motions of service in the power of the flesh. There are husbands who are seeking to be husbands in the home in the power of the flesh. There are wives who are seeking to be wives in the home in the power of the flesh. Children who are seeking to be children in the home in the power of the flesh. Anyone can do that. My question is this: how can you serve God Almighty with God's power? How can you be the husband you ought to be in the home with God's power? How can you be the wife you ought to be? I mean that wife that you ought to be in the home with God's power. The child you ought to be in the home with God's power. How can we be the Christians we ought to be with God's power? The answer is by means of personal purity. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Brethren, what is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this: if you want to be used of God, if you want to be honored of God, if you want God to set you aside from the crowd into His service, if you want God to make you ready and usable for all sorts of good works and prepared for the Master's use, the secret is going to be in your purging yourself. That is, you need to purify yourself of sin. If you want God to use you in His service, I'm simply saying this: you must be purged. You must be pure, you must be clean, you must be right with God, you must be in fellowship with the Lord. And as you're purged, as you're right with God, and do the right thing and keep on doing what is right, you will be the kind of person God will bless in His service, you see. You will be the kind of person God's going to use in His service. On the other hand, if you're not pure, not clean, not right with God, not in fellowship with the Lord, God's not going to bless you in His service. He's certainly not going to use you in His service. Now, you do it all in the flesh. You can preach in the flesh, teach a Sunday school class in the flesh. You can run your house in your flesh. You can run your business in the flesh. Brethren, you can run your life in the flesh. But I promise you, carnal methods or carnal means never accomplish spiritual work. The spiritual work of God. You see, if you want to do the spiritual work of God with spiritual power, you need to purge yourself of sin. That is, you need to purify yourself of sin. I like this verse, Psalm 24, 3 through 5. The psalmist said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord." The psalmist is not talking about my positional purity. He is talking about my practical relationship with God Almighty in my life. So let me ask you something. Who has the blessing of the Lord? The psalmist simply said, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord." Are you convinced that we power with God in your prayer life and in your service, Lord, comes from personal purity? Now, folks, I hope that you are. My question is, how then does personal purity come, preacher? Through confession. Remember 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. How then does personal purity come? Through consecration. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:11, the psalmist simply said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, you get your sins forgiven instantly as you confess them to the Lord. And as you day by day seek to live under the authority of the Word of God, under the rule of the Word of God, you maintain cleansing. You maintain personal purity before the Lord. And thereby the child of God will have the power to influence God, accomplish great things for the Lord, influence this community for Christ, do something for God. Magnify the Lord. Influence His heart. Your church will only have power with God in relationship to purity. You yourself will only have power with God in your prayer life and in your service, Lord, in relationship to your personal purity before God. So, my question is, are you pure? Are you clean? Are you right with God in your fellowship with the Lord? Are there sins in your life that you need to confess and forsake? Are there sins in your life you need to face up to? You see, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, saying, these things keep you from being clean. These things keep you from being pure. These things keep you from being right with God. Then you need to deal with them. You see, it may be you're consenting to lust in your life. It could be something as simple as this. Perhaps, listen, God is leading you in a certain direction and you're refusing to follow Him. Like Jonah. Are you aware of some impurity in your life? I'm talking about some moral impurity, some financial impurity. Don't you see, it can be any a number of things. Anything between you and God is impurity. And I'm simply saying this, it will rob you of God's power in your prayer life and in your service, Lord. And the child of God does not have to live that way. If he does, he chooses to do so. Don't you see, it's never God's will that God's people be without His power. And if you've ever known what it is to have God's power in your life and then know what it is not to have God's power, then you know the misery of powerless living. And you ought to have power with God in your prayer life and your service, Lord, and that power with God is going to be found in your personal purity before God.